Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
International travel is high on the agenda of factors that would undoubtedly impact the spread of COVID-19 in Ireland in the coming weeks. And of course, not every country has kept its borders open to the same degree as we have, and many would argue that it has made a huge difference. But with a vaccine on the cards, how should we be thinking about the movement of people? Well, I'm joined by Niall Conroy, who is a consultant public health physician working in Queensland, Australia. Niall, it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you for joining us on the programme.
Hello, Claire.
It's pretty much life as normal where you are. Is that fair to say?
I think it is. I suppose from a public health unit perspective and a public health doctor perspective, COVID, even though we don't have any community transmission of COVID in Queensland, still probably takes up about 60 or 70% of my time, you know, just planning for, you know, when you sort of eliminate COVID, you end up, like we saw in New Zealand a while ago, you can get a fairly explosive outbreak out of nowhere. So we're still doing a lot of planning for that, planning for the vaccine. But from my perspective, it's really good because we get back to sort of a bit of business as usual here, you know, dealing with our normal outbreaks and that kind of thing, which I'm always a bit concerned that my colleagues in Ireland are stretched at the minute. And, you know, I worry about what's happening to the other diseases. But that's from the public health perspective. From a society and economy perspective, I have to say life is, it's almost back to normal here, to the extent that you can, you know, you can go to a football stadium and watch a game, and, you know, you can, tourism, for example, is booming. People can't go overseas. So the domestic tourism industry is really flourishing. I live in a small town, Hervey Bay, in Queensland, and, you know, I'm going out for dinner tomorrow night, and I had to book a table, which where I live is the definition of busy. So, right. Yeah, things are pretty much back to normal, but we're on high alert with COVID. You can just never relax too much.
And the reason that everything can operate in the way that it can is because you don't have international travellers coming in.
We don't. I suppose we've looked at it in a very sort of black and white way. This would be real public health 101 for a sort of pandemic strain of a respiratory virus. You know, the idea is you shut off the borders because ultimately all these infections come in from overseas and they start to seed new chains of transmission. So what you do is you cut off the cases coming in from overseas and you sort of say, right, well, we've got X amount of transmission chains in here. Let's let our public health units, public health doctors, public health nurses just get on with snuffing out those transmission chains and the knowledge that once they're gone, they're gone, and we're not going to import any more cases. And I suppose that's why we had a first wave just like everyone else, but we haven't had subsequent waves with the exception, I suppose, of New South Wales and Melbourne, who had some leakages from their hotel quarantine. But, you know, 95% of the country has been COVID-free for a long time now.
And was it difficult for Australia, for the government, to get public buy-in when that decision was being taken?
It was on one hand. You had all the stuff that you get, I suppose, when you raise the prospect of doing something like this in Ireland. It's impossible. It's unconstitutional. There were court cases. There was lots of political opposition. But the difference was Australia acted very, very early. So when they closed the borders, we were all in lockdown, just like the rest of the world was. You know, you couldn't move about 10 kilometres from your home. So actually, it didn't make a massive difference to people's lives at that stage. But what we saw very quickly and what was key for public buy-in was that while we came out of our first wave and we had got rid of all the local transmission chains, we kept the borders closed and we saw other countries starting, their cases were going up and up and up again. They were having to clamp down on their restrictions again, whereas ours just eased and eased and eased. So ultimately, with border restrictions, it was tough at first. There was grumbling, you know, there was outright opposition to it. But at this stage, you know, if anything, people are nervous about opening the borders. But there's a pragmatism to it. You know, there are exemptions, there's industry-specific deals, you know. So it's a pragmatic border closure, which I think is maybe not understood internationally.
And the lockdown in Melbourne, I know, was a really tough one, really hard on people, wasn't it? 4 months of no school, stay at home, and there was pushback against that. I know I read about one case where a pregnant woman was arrested for trying to organise a protest. protest on Facebook. So people have suffered on the back of this.
They sure have, and I suppose the high-profile objections are the ones that get the media. Broadly speaking, people have bought into it. And the only reason you could get away with that in Melbourne is because you knew it would be almost certainly your last lockdown. So again, back to this theory of if you're keeping cases out, once you snuff out your transmission chains, they're gone and life mm-hmm. can get back to normal. So the sort of, you know, the carrot was always, look, guys, this is going to be really tough, but once we get here, they're gone. And that's borne out. So basically, about 26 days ago, Melbourne had their last case, and then it's just been zero ever since. And that's because their borders are closed. Yeah. And, you know, so it's really tough, but you can get away with that when you're promising people normality afterwards, and that's what they were able to do.
I know a lot of Irish people came back, didn't they, at the start of all of this in March, but Christmas, that's not an option for many people coming home for Christmas.
No. like anywhere in Australia, we've a share of Irish people here, and nobody's even considered going home. The reality is, even if you want to do it, it's very difficult because every incoming passenger has to go into hotel quarantine in Australia. You can only take a certain amount of flights per week because you've only got a certain amount of space in your hotels. So, you know, it varies a bit, but you're talking only a few thousand passengers can get into Australia each week. So there's only that many seats going back out. So it costs you an absolute mm-hmm. fortune to get out, that the flights are unpredictable, and people's travel insurance are just not covering them. If they went to Ireland, for example, caught COVID, missed their flight back, you know, travel insurance probably doesn't cover it. So really, yeah, there's not much talk of going home this year.
So can I talk to you about what you're seeing here? Because I know you keep a close eye on how we're handling things here, and you know that we're heading towards a period where we're probably going to open up and move out of our level 5 restrictions now, and there's talk of maybe looking at January and February and saying, oh, we'll probably have to have tight restrictions probably for a shorter period of time, but we've got to prepare ourselves for tighter restrictions then. Is that the right approach, do you think, or will it work?
Well, it's the approach that's been chosen. I suppose from a public health perspective, your job is to sort of to give options and to say, well, look, this will work really well, this is imperfect. And the reality is, when you've got a virus that's so mobile and easily spread and has reached into every crevice of the globe, the only way to stop the virus is border quarantine. But there's been no political appetite in Ireland. That conversation's been done to death. So what they've gone for is this recurring lockdown piece. I mean, I'm not a great fan of it because, you know, it's a really simple idea that you lock down to get your numbers low and then you open up. But once you opened up, you haven't changed any of the conditions that allowed the virus to replicate in the first place. So they go up. My concern with that, I suppose, watching it from somewhere where we have a degree of stability, is I don't know how society functions with that level of unpredictability. I have no idea what's going to happen in Ireland in January or February. Are you going to be locked down? I have a good idea Australia won't be. And I think, you know, it's often economic reasons are cited. We couldn't possibly close the borders for economic reasons. But I can't imagine, and I'm no economist and wouldn't try to comment on the economics of it, but I can't imagine that the economy works better with that level of unpredictability. But look, it's the option that they've gone for. And I think what you have to do once you've bought into recurring lockdowns is you have to strengthen your public health infrastructure in a way that when you get your cases low, the point is to keep them as low as possible for as long as possible so that the time between your recurring lockdowns is maximized. That's really the aim of the game. And I've been disappointed that, you know, that my colleagues in Ireland in the public health units aren't really resourced enough, and, you know, been disappointed with the lack of availability for testing and the whole lot. But look, I suppose once you buy into it, I think you have to really strengthen public health. And I think that's probably where Ireland has fallen down.
Okay, and we know that the public health doctors may take some action on that in order to further their cause as they see it. But just coming back to the borders, because we were having a conversation about this here today, because Northern Ireland, as I know you're aware, is somewhere in between an orange and a red zone and has had very high infection rates. They are coming down. down slightly, but they're heading into a circuit breaker now. And the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar suggested at the Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting last night that the government may consider advising people not to travel to Northern Ireland. Now, would that be a good idea?
Well, I mean, if everyone abided by that, it would be helpful. I mean, essentially what you're saying is don't travel from an area with a lower level of COVID into an area of higher level and come back, you know, and that makes sense from a sort of an epidemiological perspective. The question is, will you get the buy-in? I think we're at the stage, and, you know, I'm not on the ground in Ireland, so I don't always have a feeling of this, but, you know, you're nearly a month into sort of recurring lockdowns and recurring restrictions, and there comes a point where people will only take advice for so long. And it was a conversation we had in Australia very early, actually, and I think it formed part of our strategy here, is that, you know, restriction fatigue is very real and it's a really big problem. So, look, it all helps. It's not perfect. I suppose the way you have to look at it, it's not about things. It's not about, you know, not going to Northern Ireland. It's not about testing people when they get off planes. A public health response like this is about a whole suite of interventions. It's about everything you do. We didn't get on top of the AIDS epidemic with just advertisements or needle exchange programs. It was a whole suite of things. And COVID is no different. Mm-hmm. You know, individual things like this, they're helpful and, you know, they're not harmful, but they're, you know, it's all about the whole package. And that's, I think, where the focus needs to be. How okay. strong is public health in Ireland?
Now, we'll leave it there. When do you think you might get home again?
Good question. I'm hoping for the Christmas after next is my aim for the moment.
Right. But, is that for personal reasons, or is COVID dictating that in your mind, your plans?
Well, probably could have got back in June or July, but my lovely wife is expecting her first baby 2 days before Christmas, so have to see when he's old enough to travel and the COVID situation outside of Australia, what we'd expose him to and all that kind of thing. So yeah. I think travel would potentially be possible next June or July, but we'll probably wait a little longer.
Well, it's going to be an exciting Christmas for you anyway, either way.
Sure.
So thank you very much for joining us. Lovely to talk to you. Niall Conroy there in Australia. We're going to be talking about herbs and spices in just a moment.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.